So here we are. It's the end of our kind of Christmas stay away with family. And I thought I'd take a moment to speak to Grandad John, who's had so many amazing jobs, a really incredible life, lots of adventures, and who never talks about so much of it. But last night we had a few drinks and we had a great dinner, and you were just coming out with one great story after another. I'm particularly interested in the episode of your life where you used to be a chauffeur for the Beatles, and you're so matter-of-fact, you're just like, oh, it was just another job. Well,
yes, it was at the time. I was a bit excited in taking the job in the first place, but as the papers were so critical of the Beatles in general, I grew to sort of not thinking the job as something terribly good.
No, you were saying you collected some newspaper clippings, and it was always just calling them layabouts.
Yeah, it was. I've got a small paper clipping, and it slates them as untidy slobs, and all names that you can imagine to criticise them. But and that's why, really, I didn't take the job as a wonderful job in the end. It wasn't. It was a 24-hour job, and I just took every little trip with them in my stride, and they learnt me the various places in London to go to, which they frequented.
What kind of places would they go?
Well, to clubs and the sort of the place where they buy the clothes and different, all to do with theirs, which was totally different to what I was used to, because I was used to going to airports, train stations, and different hotels in London. But so you know London fluently. I didn't. I was an outside driver, out of London driver, not an inner driver.
Well, from Wales originally, so a very big change.
Yes.
So there were two official chauffeurs, I believe, one for John Lennon and yourself.
Yes, and myself.
And you used to mostly drive Ringo, but you'd pick everybody up occasionally.
Well, on occasions, I was asked to go and pick John up, you know, and we'd take John and Ringo and George Harrison up to the studios up in Abbey Road. But I was mostly Ringo chauffeur, but on occasions I used to drive, well, any of them, really, other than Paul. The only time I drove Paul was when we was doing a recording in Abbey Road, and they wanted to go down to London into the centre, Mayfair, for their lunch. So they all got in to the car, and Paul said to John, no, to Ringo, he said, does he know where to go? And I said, well, I obviously said, yeah, he knows where to go. So I took them down there and picked them up later to take them back to the studios.
So you you talk about it like it was quite hard work. Sometimes you're sitting outside various celebrities' houses waiting for the party to finish. Did you ever get invited inside?
No, no. The only time I got invited inside was when we went to Henratty's father's house in Kenton, off the North Circular. And then I was asked to sit in the kitchen and give him a cup of tea and a few sandwiches. But on any other occasion, no, I just had to wait and sit in the car.
Who was there at the time in that particular party, do you remember? Was it Lulu? Well, I think you might have.
No, in that particular party where at Kenton?
Yeah.
No, there was John and Yoko and couple of solicitors or accountants with them, you know, just to try and sort out the money situation for getting a pardon for James Henratty, who was hung.
So you talk about how being a driver, being a chauffeur, you were just that. You were nothing more to a certain extent. And they treated a lot of the staff like that. I guess they had an awful lot of money and they didn't trust who they didn't know where the money was coming from. They didn't know where it was going to. And three or four times they changed their accountants, didn't they? Because they didn't even trust them.
Yeah. Well, that's life in those days, really. Yeah. They were making the money coming in off the records. But where it was coming to and who was using it and for what for is it's what they were worried about, really.
Yeah.
They wasn't getting the right amount of money that they should have been getting. Obviously, a lot of it was going into a lot of other people's pockets. And so I can understand, you know, why they was a bit worried. I'd be the same.
Totally. So do you particularly remember or enjoy any of the cars you were driving?
Well, I remember, I think the Fassel Vega was the nicest car to drive.
The Vassel Vega. Yeah. Fassel Vega. We looked at a picture of that last night. Did you have any idea that the Beatles were going to become as legendary now as back then?
No idea at all. I thought they'd be there for perhaps a year or two and, well, several years, and then forgotten, like most groups, really. But considering they've lasted so long, the fact that I've chauffeured Ringo seems to be of interest to a lot of people. I'm very surprised, really, because to me it was just another job. And so I didn't think no more of it, really.
And we talked about appreciation. You did get tipped once, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Actually, that was when I brought John and Yoko back from Kenton. And it was a very foggy night. And I took them back to Tittenhurst Park, to Ascot. And before John and Yoko went, he said, well, thanks a lot, John. It was a bit of good drive in that. And he gave me a £5 note, which was a lot in those days. And I appreciated it very much. And as I say, it was another occasion when he gave me another £5 note. But that's another story, really.
Another story, one of a few that you have written down, and you think one day you might let it out there. But I find it interesting every time we get together for a family get together. There's always another story. There's always another little nugget. And some are funny. Some are really interesting. Some are quite sad in a way. But I'm so glad you're here to tell them.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Grandad.